Well, hello there. My name is Patricia King, and I want to welcome you to our webinar for tonight called Coached into Spiritual Acceleration. And I want to welcome you from all the various places around the world where you're joining us. And it's wonderful, the day and hour that we're living in, where we can get the word out into the different nations, even from one place, just at the flick of a switch, we can get that word out and fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So I trust that this webinar is going to be special for you. Actually, it's the very first time. You are the very first ones to receive any content out of this webinar. In another week or so, about a week and a half, I'm going to be doing a live webinar on March the 27th. Called Coached into Spiritual Acceleration. It'll be from 9 o'clock in the morning until 5 at night or 6. Sometimes we finish. And it's going to be a remarkable day. So, of course, I can get more content in during those times. We always keep our live seminars very small. So it's a very small group. It's out here in our studio in Maricopa. And it's like getting personal coaching almost for an entire day from at least 9 to 5. And so we want to thank you for your participation tonight. And it's going to be fun to share this word with you because, as I said, it's the very first time. Now, what inspired me for this particular message was a prophetic insight that the Lord gave me about an acceleration, a spiritual acceleration that is coming into the earth. We are about ready to come into a wave of revival. In fact, I'm not even sure that revival is the proper word for it, because whenever I say it, I think in my spirit, it's not quite that. It's not really revival. And then when I think, well, maybe it's an awakening, but when I say awakening, I thought it's not really that. And the conclusion that I've come to is what God is about to do has never been done in the history of the church before. And it is going to be a fresh wave of the Spirit. It'll carry its own name. We'll be able to name it when it comes. The Lord will show us what it is. But He does say to get prepared, because during that sovereign move of the Spirit, there is going to be an acceleration of our spirituality. It's like the company of those that have gone before us into glory is going to meet with those of us in the earth. And there's a heavenly portal that's going to open up that is going to cause us to accelerate into many aspects of encounter in the spiritual realm. And so I'm very excited about that prophetic insight. And you know, God says that He does nothing in the earth without first revealing it to the prophets, because His divine order is He first of all speaks it forth prophetically, what is to come, and then there's birthing through intercession and through posturing, and then of course the manifestation. And so I want to encourage you all to put yourself in a position where you are going to, you know, posture yourself in prayer and intercession and birth that, because God wants you to be a recipient of this acceleration. But as I was praying into the actual vision, the Lord also gave me keys, biblical keys, on how you can groom yourself to accelerate in your spiritual dimension and in your spiritual walk. And so let's look at some of these. And again, this is a quicker overview. In within a month, we are going to have this whole set, this whole full teaching, the full length teaching on CD with the appropriate notes and everything. So you'll be able to order that online. But tonight we're going to give you the nuts and bolts of it and give you things that you can put to work. You can act upon right away. So first of all, I want to take a look at the very beginning in the book of Genesis when God created Adam and Eve. And in the first three chapters, we discover that God not only created Adam and Eve, but He placed them in the garden, and He put a dominion on them to steward the earth and every living thing, and to give names to the animals and that. And that we see that God was very much a part of their life together. God was with them and they were with God. We see even after Adam and Eve fell that they heard God walking in the garden, where, you know, that was part of their normal experience. But this time, instead of gravitating to Him, they were running from Him because they were afraid, because sin got in the way. But in the very beginning, God was with man and man was with God. And that little word "with" is really powerful. And I was praying into that, and And looking up the meaning of the word with within the Hebrew, it's really interesting because it is significant. It means to be together with, to be near to be in relationship with, or to be in the same place. And so part of our spiritual acceleration is to acknowledge that we are with God. You know, the scripture says that that Jesus is Emmanuel. He was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So now he's given us his spirit. So he is with us and we are with him, just like Adam and Eve. And a lot of your spiritual acceleration is going to come by living in that garden with God, by living in that realm with God, by acknowledging that he is with you, that you are with him. I find it interesting that in Genesis 5, verse 24, the scripture says about Enoch, it says that Enoch walked with God. There's that word with again, with God, and he was not, for God took him. So I get this picture of Enoch, and if you've had a chance actually to read the book of Enoch, the book of Enoch was not actually included in the canon of scripture because all the scriptures that we see before this was canonized as scripture, it had to meet certain criteria. The book of Enoch was considered but rejected because it didn't meet all the criteria, but it's still a great historical book. You can't just stand on it, though, like you would the scriptures. But when you read the book of Enoch, you'll see that Enoch received powerful revelation from God regarding the universe, how God built the earth, how he made the earth, how he put the stars into place, all the different scientific laws. It's absolutely a fascinating book, and you can actually download it online for nothing. Just look it up on your Google, and you'll see the book of Enoch. But Enoch, it says in the Bible, in Genesis, in fact, the Bible, the actual scriptures say very little about Enoch, but they did say, it does say that he walked with God, that word with. And in that particular scripture, the word with is a different scripture, or a different meaning, I should say, than the word with in Genesis, where we see Adam and Eve walking with God. And it actually means, in Enoch's case, that he pressed into God. It means to go towards, to move towards, to walk to proceed to move, to take in hand, to capture and to seize. Now, this gives us a whole different picture of with, doesn't it? When it says Enoch walked with God, it means that he pressed into God. He got a hold of God, you know, just like Jacob, when Jacob was wrestling with God, he said, I'm not letting go of you until you bless. And that is the connotation of the word with when we read about Enoch. And so it is our blessing from God to walk with him. He is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. To acknowledge that with is important. But it's also that you can, in knowing that he is with you, you can press into that. You can seize hold of that promise and say, God, you are with me. Now, when you take God's hand and start walking with him in everything that you do, you will accelerate in your spiritual growth. Just like Enoch, he accelerated in his knowledge of the universe and all kinds of things. Why? Because he was with God. He walked with God. Eventually, in his close walk with God, he walked so closely that he was not, for God took him. You know, he just went off into that other realm and he was no longer in the natural realm because he so spiritually accelerated right into that realm. And I have known through times when I've pressed in through fasting or prayer, and I'm not talking about a striving that is born out of fear, saying, oh no, I gotta get hold of God, and where is God? I gotta get God, I gotta go after him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about seeing a promise, saying, oh God, you're with me. I'm going to, with joy, move into your presence with joy. I'm going after you. Oh my gosh, I just want to put my focus towards you so that I can understand the things of your heart today. And when you seek him with that joy, to be with him, to press in, to seize, to take hold of him, it is amazing what God will give you. And at times that I've done that, I have accelerated immensely in spiritual understanding and spiritual growth and encounter with God. And so walking with God and pursuing him. We know that God has pursued us, obviously, because he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we could be with him. So he actually pursued us. He sends his spirit out to convict us of our need of Him. He sends His angels out to watch over us. He is constantly pursuing us and restoring us, but He invites us to pursue Him as well, and that is amazing. In James 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." But you'll notice, it doesn't say, God will draw near to you, and when He does, you can draw close to Him. It says, you draw close, take the initiative. Take the initiative to draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. A lot of times I feel Christians are waiting for acceleration. They say, oh God, I'm just waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting for you to show up. And He's saying, I showed up 2,000 years ago. Now you move towards me. I've given you the promise. Live that life out by faith. Pursue me because I've given you the invitation. I am here. And I remember years ago when I was in a time of prayer and I'd been, you know, constantly focused on the Lord. I had been really busy. I'd been neglecting my devotion time and everything. And I just wanted to be with God. And so I had this time set apart. And, you know, I went into this little trailer and locked the doors behind me and hit the ground and just started crying out to God. Oh God, where are you? Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I've got this time set apart. I'm going to seek your face. I'm just going to pursue you. I'm going to go after you. And, you know, day and night, day after day, I was seeking God, I was praying in tongues, reading the Word, repenting of sin, doing whatever I could to get a hold of God, and yet I couldn't feel Him, I couldn't sense Him, I couldn't seem to connect with Him. And so I got into a panic, and I was looking at what I didn't have rather than what I had. And so I would be crying out to God, say, oh God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And it was, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should fast. And, you know, I like feasting better than fasting, but I thought, for you, God, I'm even going to fast. I'm not even going to eat until you show up. And then I did all night watches. I'm not going to go to sleep until you show up. And it's like, I just couldn't find God. God didn't show up as far as I was concerned. So after 10 days, I was even repenting of sin that I'd never even thought of committing, but I thought, I'll take care of it anyways, just in case there's something in the way. And after 10 days of crying out to God day and night, and I'm talking, you know, between 12, 14, sometimes 16 hours a day of nonstop seeking Him, reading His Word, praying, soaking in worship, studying, all that, I just couldn't sense Him. And on the 10th day, I'm crying out to God, I said, God, where are you? And He answered in a still small voice within my heart. He says, I'm right here. I'm right here. Why did you think I was not with you? Does not my word say that I am with you? Wow. That went inside of my spirit. It just went off like lightnings inside of me. And I said, oh God, you're here. Now, for the rest of that month, I had an encounter with God because I wasn't trying to get near Him. I was just believing that He was. I was enjoying His presence because He was right there, not because I was striving to get Him. Does that make sense? You see, His word says that He is Emmanuel, God with you. He has given His own Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Godhead, the very life of God is with you, in you, around you as a believer. And so you can walk with God, Emmanuel, God with us. In Acts 4:13, it says, now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Because they had been with Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, they were reflecting His nature, His character, His giftings. And they recognized them as those who had been with Jesus, even though they weren't trained, they weren't educated. They understood that they were like Jesus because they had been with Him. And so your acceleration is going to come from the time that you spend with Jesus. Amen. So a good question to ask yourself at this point, if you're going to walk with Jesus, what does walking with Jesus mean to you? What does that look like? What would your life look like? Describe what it would look like if you were to walk with Jesus every part of your day. Now, you might want to write that down so that you can contemplate, think on that later. and then maybe write out or journal what does walking with God mean to me? And when we're thinking of our life with God, here's some things to ponder. First of all, your life with God is about a relationship and your walk with Him. Because God is spirit, and so it's about building relationship with God. That's what brings acceleration. That's what brings fruitfulness. Also, you are a spirit being. You're not just a physical being. You have a spirit. You are a spirit being. There's a spirit body on the inside of you. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. It says that within the Bible. Genesis 2:7 talks about God creating man. It says He took the earth and formed man, and then He blew His breath, which is the ruah, the spirit, into man. So man became a spirit and then became a living soul as a result of the connection of the spirit of God connecting with the form of the physical shape. In Luke 12:32, it says, God has chosen gladly to give you His kingdom. So He's not holding anything back from you. He's given you the fullness of who He is and of His kingdom. Now, the kingdom, of course, is a spiritual kingdom. It is an invisible kingdom, but it's all around you. What I saw in that vision I mentioned earlier was the kingdom of heaven coming into the earth. And Jesus told us to pray in that way. For 2,000 years, the church has been praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have been praying that for 2,000 years. This kingdom, this invisible kingdom, is going to manifest in this hour with acceleration more than we've ever seen it manifest before. And that kingdom is going to manifest through you. It is an invisible kingdom. It is the highest ranking kingdom in all the physical world and the invisible world. And even though it's invisible, it is real. Sometimes people think, well, if it's invisible, it's not real. No, the invisible realm is a very real realm. In fact, in many ways, the invisible realm is more real than even the natural realm. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of Jesus and Jesus Himself and His kingdom, it's not going to pass away. It's eternal. It's an eternal kingdom. Now, you can live in two realms, the physical realm, the natural realm, the realm of time, which is the temporal realm, and the eternal realm, the spiritual realm. So you can live in the natural, but you can also live in the spirit because you're a spirit being. And if you want to accelerate spiritually, you need to understand that you are a spirit. In John 3, verse 13 in the King James Bible, Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was seeking answers, spiritual answers, He said, he who is ascended into heaven is one who is he who is ascended into heaven is he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So He's speaking to Nicodemus in the earthly realm, saying, I am the Son of Man. I am the Son of God. I'm speaking to you in the earthly realm right now, but I'm also in heaven right now at the same time. It's called bilocation. Now, when you understand your place in the heavenlies, your place in the spirit, and the manifestation of that life in the earth, you will accelerate because you'll bring all the goodness of what God's given you out of that unseen dimension into the natural dimension. Every promise that is revealed to you in the Word is available for you to experience. So in Ephesians 1:3, for example, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And by the way, the scripture says in Ephesians 2 that you are seated in Christ, in those heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father. That's where you're seated. So you've been given every spiritual blessing. It's already been given. You don't have to beg for spiritual blessing. You don't have to beg for spiritual gifting. All those promises in the Word are already yours. You have to just appropriate them by faith. In 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4, it talks about a grace and peace that's multiplied to you in Christ Jesus that has given you everything that you need pertaining to life and to godliness, and that every great and precious promise, every magnificent promise is already yours. And if you live by those promises, it says you will partake of the divine nature of God. And so spiritual acceleration comes from you knowing the realm, the kingdom that you belong to, which is the kingdom of God, and you know the promises within that kingdom, the invisible promises that you can connect to with your faith to bring into the natural realm. Glory to God. By the way, if you have any questions or comments even, you can email me anytime during this event at questions@xpmedia.com. So you just fire those off, and we're going to try and get to as many of those at the end of this webinar as possible. So feel free to write in your comments, your questions, your prophetic insights. Okay, now, we have close fellowship with God. In John 5, 19, 20, we see Jesus having close fellowship with God. So much so that he said, I only do the things I see my Father do. That's because he lived out of the presence. He lived in those two dimensions and knew who he was, knew the promises. And so he would walk with the Father, see what the Father was doing, and do it in the earth, bring it in the earth. And of course, no one accelerated with fruitfulness that more than Jesus Christ. We know that God answers every prayer that we pray when we pray according to the promise, according to the word. We could go into many other things there, but I'm going to move on because we have a lot of content to cover in our full day workshop, or if you wanted later on to get the entire course that we're going to be recording later, there'll be more insight on that for you later. Now, all that's been mentioned, this invisible kingdom realm, all the promises of God that are yes and amen to us, all of those are entered into by faith. We can receive of that banquet by that little faith connection and as a result of grace. Now, I want you to listen to this scripture out of Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one can boast. Now, I want you to really get a hold of this, because it's a big key to your spiritual acceleration. Again, it has to do with dying to the self-striving on the inside of you. It says that it is by grace you have been saved. That word grace means undeserved, unmerited favor that God has given you. It's a gift of favor. It also means the activation of his divine influence upon your heart. In other words, he's at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He influences you, and you, through that influence, do his will. I remember when I was born again, it was his influence upon my heart. He just revealed to me things. He was influencing my heart. I couldn't say no to him. I was so amazed at his love that I, of course, came into salvation. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve that favor. None of us do, but he gives it. But it's not just for that moment of salvation. It's for your entire life in the Lord. You will accelerate in your spirituality when you understand the grace of God, when you cease striving and know that God's grace will empower you. So you could just speak over your life. Both to will and to do. God, I believe that you're at work within me to will and to do. I'm not going to strive. I'm just going to enjoy your power activated within me. Bring me into your purposes, you see? That's the grace of God when you enter into that rest. So it says, by grace, you have been saved. Now, that word saved means the fullness of all that Jesus died for. It's actually sozo in the Greek. That's the word in the Greek. And it means your forgiveness of sin, your peace and your well-being. It refers to your healing and deliverance, your freedom, your prosperity, everything that pertains to kingdom life. So it says by grace, by his undeserved, unmerited favor, and by his influence upon your life, you have been sozoed. You have been given everything that pertains to the kingdom. And then it says through faith. It's through faith. Now, many times, Christians will strive to get faith. I got to have faith. I got to have faith. I got to have faith. The easiest way to receive faith is to look into the goodness of God, to look into the grace of God. When you look at what God's already accomplished and read His Word, when you start reading this Word saying, I'm looking for the promises, God. I'm looking for what You've already given me. And then you read and think, oh my goodness, look at this. Look what You've given me. From everlasting I was established. Okay, I'm established. You know, you can just go through the whole Bible and see all the promises. You know, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Oh Lord, You've made me diligent, therefore You've made me rich. You know, and you can, with joy, receive of these promises. Now, when you're looking at the goodness of God like that, faith automatically comes. Faith comes with that revelation. Faith comes by that. You don't have to strive to get faith. You don't have to say, oh, I gotta really work at this. I gotta really strive to get some faith in operation. No, because even that faith, it says, even that faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's part of His grace over your life. And so God is at work within you. He has finished everything that it took to accomplish His purposes for you. And now you don't strive, but you just say yes to God. When Mary, mother of Jesus, was visited by the angel Gabriel, and, you know, he told her, Mary, you know, you're going to bear the Christ child. She just said yes and amen. She said, let it be done unto me according to Your word. And so that is faith. So you enter your life with God by faith. So you might want to describe your current relationship with God, because you're going to accelerate. You're about ready to accelerate in your walk with God and everything that comes out of that walk. And so maybe describe your current relationship with God. For example, is it extremely close already? Or is it very close? Or is it just close? Or perhaps it's distant? Or even strained and difficult. But assess it right now and just ponder that. And then think about, well, what would it look like if I was to live a vibrant spiritual life? If I were to come up a notch in that, what would that look like for me? What would your spiritual life look like if it was everything that you wanted it to be? And what has hindered you from having that in the past? Those are really good questions to ask yourself. The other thing is to identify your hunger. How hungry are you to see acceleration in your walk with God? For example, are you extremely hungry? Can you say, I'm so hungry, I'll do whatever it takes. That's how hungry I am. Or maybe you're just very hungry, which is, well, I'm hungry enough to pursue a measure of fulfillment. Or perhaps you're just a little hungry. Well, if it comes to me, I'll receive it. Or maybe you're not hungry at all. I just sense an obligation, but I'm not really hungry. And that's good to evaluate your hunger level, because those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So if you can create hunger within your heart, God's going to fill that hunger. Now, obviously, you're pretty hungry to accelerate in your spiritual growth, or you would not be on this webinar right now. You are hungry to accelerate. So you might want to just evaluate that. Now then, in the light of that, identifying how hungry you are to grow spiritually, to accelerate, let's read this scripture. In Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So I ask you, are there any conditions required in that scripture for these promises to be fulfilled? I mean, basically all we have to do is ask, seek, and knock, right? It says, if you ask, you will receive. It shall be given to you. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be open to you. And so those are powerful promises. So when you put that in the context of your spiritual acceleration and you start asking, Lord, I'm asking for spiritual acceleration. I want more with You. I want to encounter You more. And you request out of faith, not out of fear, not out of anxiety, or, oh, I hope it works out. I really want it to happen. Not out of that kind of stress, but just with excitement, say, oh God, I ask in faith, believing I receive. what I am believing for. I am believing for spiritual acceleration. It says, if you ask, it will be given. And if you not seek, I'm going to seek after more of you. I'm going to search the scriptures because I get to, not because I have to, but because I get to seek you out. I'm going to seek your face in everything I do. I'm going to look for you in the marketplace. I'm going to seek you out on the streets. I'm going to see everywhere I go. I'm going to look for you. I'm going to look for signs of your presence. I'm going to acknowledge you because it says if you seek, you will find. And then you can knock. Lord, I'm knocking. I'm knocking on this door of opportunity to grow spiritually. I'm knocking on this invitation that you've given to me in the scripture. It says, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it shall be open. So apply that now to your spiritual hunger and you'll get excited about that. Okay, next, define your targets. You see, if you don't have a target, we were just out on a shooting range a little while ago. Actually, it was an old barn and we put up targets and pop cans and stuff like that. And we're trying to shoot them down with real live guns. It was kind of fun actually. But we had to have a target. Otherwise you're just shooting bullets into the air. You don't know where they've gone. You don't know if you hit the mark. You have no idea. You just, you know, it's just making a loud noise, but you're not focused on anything. You're not targeting anything. So in your spiritual walk, have a target. Do you know what you're looking for? Not just a nebulous, oh, I want to grow and accelerate spiritually. I'm just waiting for God to do it. I'm just waiting for something to happen. No, he wants you to have a target. And it says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. And so what is your treasure? Define your desires, in other words. Make sure your desires for what you're looking for, that they are clear, that they're specific, and they're obtainable. Maybe your desire for, you know, it's going to be different for all of you, but maybe for some of you it's having enriched devotional lives. Others of you is being able to be, you know, experiencing things like transport in the spirit or ascending into the third heaven or, you know, seeing angelic visitation or, you know, working miracles, healing, signs and wonders. It could be different for all of you. Boldness to minister. And God wants you to identify your desire. So define your desire. What are they? Put down on a piece of paper, what's your first priority, your second priority, your third priority? And then you know what you're targeting. When you take your faith out, you know what you're targeting. You're going right for the bullseye on that. You're not just hit and miss. You know what you're going after. Okay, next, define your areas of passion. If you have your desires, that's good, but define areas of passion. And also your skill level, your skill sets, and your gifting. Now that's really important. Like, I'm not motivated because I have no passion at all, for example, for fixing cars. My husband loves fixing cars, okay? That's his passion. So he likes fixing anything that's broken. And so you'll see him fixing things that are broken. I'll just walk right by something that's broken. I'll walk by a car that's broken. I'll go take a bus if I need to, but I'm not going to fix it. Why? Because I have no passion. Now, it's going to be hard for me to stir up passion. What's better for me to do is identify what is passion within me. What is my passion? Because if I can identify my passion, then I can go after it. For example, I love intercessory prayer. So for me to say, God, I want to meet with you in intercessory prayer, that's easy because I love praying. Okay? So identify your areas of passion. What spiritual things do you love? What things are you passionate about, even if you don't have them operating yet? What are you passionate about pursuing? And what are the skills that you already have? You know, you might have you know, certain skill sets like maybe administration, or you can sing well, or, you know, you're a good prayer warrior. You've been trained in intercession, in spiritual warfare. So just, you know, define your areas of passion, your skill, and your gifting. Maybe you're prophetically inspired or apostolically, or, you know, you love going out and winning souls and you're gifted in evangelism. You're a gifted music or worship leader. So define your areas of passion, skill, and gifting. The ones that you have current, and the areas that you desire to grow in, but do not currently have passion, skill, or gifting in. Because if you can identify that, you know what you're going after. You know what your faith can target once it's defined. Next, define your commitment level. What is your time commitment, for example? Are you willing, are you passionate enough to grow spiritually and to have spiritual acceleration in your life that you're willing to put extra time into it? One of my friends was spending some time with the Lord one day, and the Lord told her, I want you to spend from this time in the morning to this time, every single day, I want you to come meet with me. And she committed herself to meeting with the Lord. She meets with him every day at that time. Very seldom does she miss that time, because she made a time commitment. She was willing to make that time commitment. Why? Because she longed to grow in the Lord. And she has accelerated greatly. I mean, God has given her so many downloads, and I've had the privilege of listening to some of those downloads. It's awesome, because she was willing to commit some time to her desire. Define your commitment level. Another commitment is your task commitment. What are you committed to do for what it will take? For instance, with her, it was the task of posturing herself in her prayer room to spend time with God. She had the time commitment, but then she had to get her computer out, because she had to journal into the computer what the Lord was showing her, and she had to put the commitment of the task to make sure everything was journaled properly and stuff like that. So what is your task commitment? It might be getting training. It might be reading a book. It might be taking a course via the internet. You know, it could be a task commitment, and it could involve finances too. There might be a financial commitment. You know, maybe your commitment level is to get life coaching, for example, and you need some finance to do it, or it's a commitment to go on a trip to Israel and you need finance to do it. So what is your financial commitment? Next is define your motives. What is the reason why you're wanting to spiritually accelerate? Is it because of your love of God, or is it because you want to reach the world around you? Define your motives. Be honest with your motives so that you know what is motivating you. Because if you can remember your motive behind it, it'll help keep the passion strong. And then define your return on investment. We call it ROI. Define it, because whenever you make an investment, there should be an expectation to receive back from what you've invested. That expectation will, help you get defined and receiving what God has for you. For example, when I go into prayer, I expect answers to prayer. I expect, one of my motivations even for going into prayer is knowing that when I pray, God's going to answer. What would the purpose be if I go into prayer and I don't have any expectation for a return on my investment in prayer? Oh, well, I'm just praying. You know, no, I intentionally go into prayer in order to receive answers and to communicate with God. So what exactly are you believing for? Because when you define that, it'll empower you and things will accelerate a lot more. And what is your expectation in return for your commitment, your actual different commitments? Okay, next, I want to give you some keys to acceleration. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be looking at keys. And again, I want to encourage you to email me at questions@xpmedia.com if you have any questions about this topic, or if you want to make comments or give a testimony or anything. Just feel free to do that. questions@xpmedia.com. Okay, session 3 is keys to acceleration. And the first key is devotion time. And again, as I read before in Matthew 6:21, the scripture says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. And so if you love God, your heart will be with him. And there's things that you can ask yourself as far as where your heart is what is on your mind first thing in the morning when you get up? When you awaken, what is on your mind? When you go to bed at night, what is the last thing on your mind? Because what or who is on your mind when you first get up or when you go to the bed is probably where your most devotion in your life is. And so you can actually choose to make God your number one focus by saying, God, I'm arising in the morning to give you praise. And it'll actually become a spontaneous reaction. So your devotion time is your set apart time with God. It's a time when you turn away from the distractions and the plans for the day and you focus on Him. You know, you don't let the business of the day get in there. You're not answering emails. You're just focused on Him. And He will reveal His heart to you in those times that you spend, and you can share yours with Him. And so there's that with God thing happening when you commit that time and your focus to Him in a devotion time. And you will find that you will accelerate in a great way. Jesus said that when you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. And so it's out of that place of being with Him in devotion that you will find in that focused alone time that fruit will come forth. Insights will be given to you. You will accelerate. We have a journal. You can order it online if you want. It's a beautiful journal, actually. I made it in honor of Dr. Oral Roberts, and I prepared it before he went on to glory, and it was published just after he went on to glory. But it's a beautiful journal. It's called Sacred Time, Sacred Place. You can order it online. But I've outlined in that journal a whole teaching on how to have a fruitful devotional time. And then there's a place with beautiful journal pages to journal the special insights. And I would highly recommend, if you want to accelerate spiritually, to journal what God speaks to you and then go over that journal and let it become alive on the inside. So it comes out of the head and into the heart. Journaling will also help you stay focused when you're spending time with Him, and it'll give you something to reflect on after. Oftentimes, I've heard Christians say, well, I love having devotion time, but I get distracted. And I think that is true for so many people. So it's a matter of disciplining. Whenever a distraction comes, you realize you're being distracted and just push it away and then get back on focus. And you do that enough times and it'll become more natural. And of course, you can pray and ask for God's grace to become focused and not distracted. And also, taking time throughout your day, just spontaneously, to turn your thoughts towards God. You know, maybe you're taking a washroom break at work. Just go in and spend time with God and focus on Him. You'll be surprised at how just a few moments of focus throughout the day will accelerate your growth in the Lord, because it puts you right back in focus of His presence and things start to happen. Okay, next key for you is your focus. We've used that word already quite a bit. But what you focus on, you empower. Whatever you focus on, you empower. So focus creates realms and atmospheres of that which you focus on. So in my book, Create Your World, I do a whole section on the power of focus. And it's very, very amazing. And I've found also this to be so true. In fact, in the month of December in 2012, when I was having my prayer time, I spent almost the entire month every day focusing on the wisdom of God. I love the wisdom of God. So I was doing studies. I was doing special devotion times, just committed to spending time searching out the wisdom of God, reading the word on it. And I started having encounter in the heavens in a place called Wisdom's Abode. And I got so many downloads that month. I can't tell you how I accelerated just by focusing on the wisdom of God. And it started to manifest in many areas of my life. So what is it that you want to accelerate in? What specific thing? Remember, we talked about having a specific desire, and by acknowledging that desire, if you focus on that particular thing, let's say, for example, you want to focus on ascending into the heavens. Well, get as many scriptures as you can that support that. Read testimonies on it. Posture yourself to engage in it. Get the glory school. You know what I mean? Like, just spend your focus time. And, you know, you could spend maybe a number of months or even a few years focusing on one specific mandate from God. And you'll find yourself growing in that. I have a friend who wanted to really engage in evangelism with signs and wonders, and they would focus in prayer, in soaking, just even seeing in their mind's eye themselves out there evangelizing and seeing souls won and on platforms preaching the word, and they just focused on that every single day by the hour. And then before long, they were manifesting everything that they focused on. Why? Because whatever you focus on, you will empower. So what do you want to accelerate in? Right now, our whole ministry is focused on revival because God's shown us prophetically that revival is coming. There's a wave, a move of the Spirit that's coming where the current is going to be so strong in the grace of God. It's going to be a holiness move, and it's going to come with the Spirit of love and grace on it that's going to turn people's heart back to God, not through, you know, trembling in that sense, but through knowing the love of God, and we can see it. So we're giving ourselves to prayer, to reading testimonies of past revivals and past outpourings, because we're posturing ourselves through focus for the revival anointing to be huge upon us. And we will be in that move. When it manifests in the earth, we're going to be in it. Why? Because whatever you focus on, you empower. Okay, focus creates fruitfulness in your life. Focus not only produces realms and atmosphere, but it creates fruitfulness. For example, years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about going into media. I won't go into the whole story about that now, but as a result, we started producing a television program. We didn't have the skills, we didn't have the finance, we didn't have the personnel, but we did have the mandate from God. And God had told Shirley Ross, our producer, that we were to do a weekly program. So we had to put all of our focus of the ministry in that whole time had to be on media. We had to believe God. We prayed into it. We did spiritual warfare. We worshiped God. We praised God. But it was all about media. All of the fundraising and everything that we did, the sacrifice and everything we did was to birth media. Well, as we went along, we started seeing through the attention given to media, not only did it create a realm, but it created fruitfulness. And so today, we're so blessed that hundreds of ministries are being involved on our site, and we reach, you know, millions of people every single week through our television program, and our whole ministry is growing in fruitfulness in the area of media. Why? Because it's been our focus. Whatever you focus on, you empower. Now, if you get too many areas that you focus on, you're getting, you know, focusing on this and focusing on that and focusing on the other, you're going to get very dissipated because you only have so much, you know, energy, time, and that to give yourself to. So you have to make sure that you're not dissipating things too much. Give yourself fully to one thing if possible, because what you focus on, you empower. And so more focus is better. Once something is birthed, once it's strong, once it's building momentum, then you can go to the next focus, because this one will keep its momentum. Once you create that realm, it then has a life of its own and can continue. Here's a question for you. What would you like to begin to focus on more in your desires for spiritual acceleration? The next key is the key of joy and expectation. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed oftentimes that Christians sometimes give this impression that their Christian walk is so hard and heavy and, oh, things are hard and, you know, the church is bad news and they're not being everything that they should be and the world's a mess and it's not what it should be. And it's like all this negativity that just brings you down. You'll never accelerate in spiritual acceleration with God through a negative attitude. Never. It will bring you down. There's no fruit out of that except bad fruit. But there's no kingdom fruit. There's no kingdom acceleration through negativity, through fear, through pessimism. But when you choose the joy of the Lord, and when you have expectation for God to move, it creates an environment like a landing strip for God to come in on. So let the joy of the Lord rise up on the inside of you. Let that joy bubble up. Let expectation bubble up, because it will create what you are believing for. It is amazing. So when you find yourself thinking negative, when you find yourself thinking something's not working out too good, or this is a frustration, or that's a frustration. Turn it around to a positive expectation, saying, I wonder how this is going to turn around. It's going to work together for good, because my God gives me the victory all the time. It's going to be amazing. And as soon as you turn your feelings to a joyful expectation, you have now created a landing strip for God to move. You'll be amazed at how quickly that takes place as well. Key number four is your faith. You know, all things are possible, only believe, the scripture says, because everything's already been given to you through Christ's finished work on the cross. So if you're going to accelerate spiritually, by faith, live in that. Now in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is a substance of things hoped for. That means joyfully expected. And it is the evidence of what is not yet seen. So in other words, you're living in the internal reality of what you're believing for. So let's say you're believing for spiritual acceleration, and you can get more of this on the Glory School, but a spiritual acceleration in ascending into the heavens. Your faith on the promises of God, you can step into those encounters simply by the operation of faith. We teach that step by step through the Glory School. You can buy that through the downloads on the website as well. As I mentioned earlier, your faith is not something you strive for. You know, say, I gotta believe, I gotta believe, I gotta believe. If you ever feel yourself striving for faith, just stop the striving and look into the goodness of God and start looking at His goodness, quoting His promises and just enjoying Him, and you'll find that faith will enter. It's that easy. When faith is in operation, it's very easy. Most of the time, you don't even know that that is when you're in faith. It's just that natural. The other thing is to make quality decisions, a quality decision to believe God's word. If He said it, He'll make it good. And don't back down. If you believe God's word, a quality decision to believe the promise, and you don't back down, it's going to bring acceleration. And it will show the enemy who is boss. Because you see, every time that you move towards acceleration, guess who's going to harass you? Do you think the enemy's going to sit back and just, oh, well, look at them. Oh, my gosh, they're accelerating. Look at what Pharaoh was afraid of when Egypt, or the Israelites were growing and multiplying in Egypt. He says, I'm freaked out here because they're too numerous. And, you know, they're going to overtake us one day. So out of his fear of the fruitfulness of the Israelites, he started oppressing them. And he started putting assignments against them. As soon as you start to accelerate, maybe you've already noticed this, when you start to move towards God, the enemy is right there to say, who do you think you are? You're not going to accelerate. You can't even feel God. You're not going to grow in God. This is not going to happen. He might throw circumstances at you, discouragements at you. And he's an illusionist. I mean, he will create illusions and delusions so that you will be all messed up in your brain. And you have to understand he's a liar. God's word is true. And if you've made a quality decision to believe and stand on that word, you'll make him flee. You'll say, I'm not listening to your lies. I'm believing for this to take place. And so show him who's boss. Make a quality decision to believe God's word and his promises. The next key is activation. Faith without works is dead. It must be acted upon. And so the more you exercise to grow in the area of your desire, the more you will grow. It's like an athlete can desire the gold medal, but just desiring the gold medal isn't going to bring it to pass. They have to activate. They have to train. They have to put their muscles to use. Not because it's like, oh, no, I won't be an accepted person if I don't get the medal. It's because it's what they want. It's what they're going for. So out of the joy of the goal that's set before them, they do whatever is necessary to bring that to pass. So activate your desire. And if you fail to activate even the most seasoned abilities, you will lose the edge on it. Okay? You can get it back, but even keep the juices flowing once you have it. Key number six is the anointing. Now the Bible says, this is a really good one, so I want you to listen carefully. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That word power there is dunamis. It means miracle-working power, the power to perform miracles, the power to grant excellency of soul or moral excellence, and it also means the power that comes with the influence of wealth. Isn't that cool? So Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and with dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So that anointing, because the scripture says in John 20:21, that as the Father sent Jesus, so also he sent you. That means he's anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with dunamis. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost and with miracle working power, with the power that comes with the increase of wealth and with excellence of soul. Hallelujah. That's what you're anointed with. Now, the anointing in the New Testament is the presence of the Holy Spirit within you and upon you. It's about his power, his dunamis, his miracle-working power. It is the literal meaning of the literal meaning of the anointing from the Old Testament means to be smeared with oil, to be smeared. Okay, so think about yourself being smeared with the Holy Spirit and with dunamis. You're smeared. Now, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In other words, when you're smeared with the Holy Spirit, you will receive the dunamis power. This is for your activation to grow in spiritual acceleration with your ministry out to humankind. And then you shall be my witnesses. What is that anointing for? So you can be his witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So you are anointed like Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. In Acts chapter 2, you'll see that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came, filled the whole house. They were all filled with the Spirit. So not only do you have the Spirit that's come upon you, but you have the Spirit that has filled you within. You are anointed inside and out. Now, every believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit within, because when you accept Jesus into your heart, it's the Holy Spirit that comes in. It's the Spirit of Jesus that comes inside your spirit and makes you a brand new creation. You have the Holy Anointed One on the inside of you. And he comes upon you, so you have the smearing of the Holy Spirit upon you. Now, every believer has that anointing, but many don't activate it. Many don't activate it. Now, one of the places that you can activate the anointing is just by simply soaking in the acknowledgement of it. Acknowledge the anointing within you. Oh, Lord, I acknowledge that you are within me, Holy Ghost. I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed with the dunamis power of God. You are inside of me and you're all over me. And you start taking the truth of that word and applying it and meditating on it. Do it by the hour. Spend a whole hour if you can saying, oh God, I'm anointed with the Holy One. The Holy Spirit is within me. I'm so anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed on the inside. I'm anointed on the outside. You're all over my head right now. You're all over my arms. You're in my hands. My hands are your hands. When I touch people, your power goes through me. And you start focusing on that and acknowledging that anointing, and it will activate. Now, let's say you see a sick person and your desire for spiritual acceleration is that you would lay hands on the sick and that they would recover. And you just spend an hour in the anointing saying, oh, Holy Ghost, you know, I'm anointed. Your power is inside my hand right now. And then you go out after that hour of praying and go lay hands on the sick. You are now igniting that anointing. And you will see healings. They will accelerate the amount of healings. The more you pray for them, the more they'll accelerate because you are starting to release that anointing that you believe in. And the more you continue in that, the more you will see acceleration. It says of the anointing also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. This is amazing. So when you focus on the indwelling Holy Spirit saying, oh, the anointed one lives inside of me, the anointing that destroys the yokes and removes the burdens is living inside. And you reveal things to me, oh God, you're revealing life to me, you're revealing truth. I don't need a flesh to teach me anything. I don't have to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in me I've been given the tree of life to feast on, to eat from. And so I have that witness in my spirit of the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It also says in Isaiah 10, 27, in the King James, listen to this. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the oppressor's burden, that means, shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Therefore, the anointing of God is a yoke-destroying, burden-releasing anointing that you can activate out to those around you. We can go into the nations, for example, and break the yoke of oppression off those that are being trafficked in the sex trade. The reason why we do that is because we're anointed to do that. We're appointed. And you can read out of Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release prisoners out of their captivity. Hallelujah. You are anointed. And when you understand that anointing, when you lay hold of the anointing, you will accelerate in your spiritual growth and in the manifestation of the kingdom of God through you. There's questions coming in, by the way. Just feel free to send your questions in. I'm going to be giving you just a few more real quick points because we've got to wrap up here, but we've got some questions that we will be addressing shortly. Write questions at xpmedia.com. So here's some keys for you to grow in the anointing. Spend time acknowledging the anointing that lives within you and that is upon you, and then activate the anointing. Key number 7, sowing and reaping. We're going to go through these very quickly. In our teaching that we actually record, we're going to have the full meal deal on that, but I'm going to give you everything I can tonight in this webinar. But sowing and reaping, one of the greatest keys I've learned throughout the whole Bible, the kingdom key to accelerated life, is the law of sowing and reaping. Because whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow a seed, you will always reap more than that one seed. That seed grows a plant that is loaded with fruit and loaded with seed within the fruit. So you can see the acceleration. So if you sow prayer, for example, into your spiritual growth, you're going to accelerate in answers to prayer, right? If you want to increase, for example, have acceleration in the spiritual blessing of prosperity, sow financially or sow substance, tangible substance. The more you sow, the more you will reap. Intentionally sow and intentionally reap. And I don't have time, unfortunately, to go into more of that right now. Key number 8, patience and endurance, if you want to accelerate. My husband and I have accelerated, actually, in the last 10 years in the area of financial provision. In fact, even up to maybe 15 years, maybe. We've been continually accelerating. But there were years ago when we were in a sowing season during our time of drought. You know, it says that Isaac sowed seed in his time of drought. And during that land of famine, he sowed in that time. And before the year was out, he reaped 100-fold. And so we were in a time of drought in our own life, but we sowed and sowed and sowed. And we didn't see the seed produce fruit during the time of the season that we were sowing in. We didn't. There was no acceleration of growth, nothing. But in time, it started to accelerate. We're still experiencing acceleration. Every year we accelerate more, and that's because we patiently endured. We didn't give up. We kept sowing. We kept believing the Word of God. We sowed the Word of God through decrees. We sowed financially. We did all those things and then patiently waited for the harvest to come in. We had to endure all the affliction, everything that came, we endured and continued in patience. And oftentimes people will give up before the manifestation of their promise comes. Abraham, for example, was given a promise that he was going to have a son and he would have many descendants, so many that they were outnumber the stars in the sky. But oh my gosh, he was past childbearing years and he didn't have a son yet. You know, Isaac hadn't come yet, but he with patience endured, with hope against hope, he endured. Why? Because he believed, and that patience produced acceleration, because once Isaac came, then everything came into place. And now look at where we are today because of Jesus who was in his loins at that time. Key number 9. One thing that you might want to acknowledge in your life are mentors and coaches, people who have mentored you. I've had great mentors. Not all of them I've known face-to-face. A lot of them have been through books, through their CD teachings, through attending their conferences. But I've allowed those who I've admired spiritually, and I love their spiritual walk, to mentor me through their teachings. And of course, life coaching, God has a big oil on that right now. If you want more information about our coaching, I love coaching. I love seeing people accelerate in their growth. Go to patriciakinglifecoach.com. We have more information on that. But to have someone in your cheering section saying, come on, we're going to cheer you on. I want to give you some input, some insight from the outside into this situation that you're dealing with so that you can break through the membranes and go to the next level, accelerate spiritually. And you can grow in 1 month what would normally take you 5 years to grow just through a bit of one-on-one training. Even in the athletic realm, do you know that athletes, they will hire coaches to train them one-on-one. Why? Because they know they can accelerate with a coach saying, no, steer here, go here, you know, exercise this more. Here's a new exercise for you to look at, you know, and they can hone that gift because they have a good coach. And so mentors and coaches, and you might want to thank God for those in your life. There's something about honor. When you honor those who have mentored you in the past and who have fed into you spiritually, when you honor them, there is an acceleration that will come in your life. I love from time to time just thanking God for my mentors, those who have sowed into my life, and I love to honor them and do special things for them at different times of the year so that they know that I appreciate it. And every time I do that, I sense acceleration because of the code of honor. God loves that honor of those who have the appreciation I show to those who have mentored me. Okay, and so you might want to, you know, maybe your pastors or your leaders, whoever has really helped you grow spiritually, let them know in special ways before the Lord do it, and you will find that you will accelerate. It really works. And then finally, the key number 10 is associations. Associate with the people that you want to grow. For example, if I wanted to grow in a business anointing and accelerate in kingdom business, I'm going to hang out with those who are already doing the stuff, with those who are successful in kingdom business realm, who knows the keys, who operate in them, who have functioned in them successfully. If I want to grow in the prophetic, I want to find a prophetic company that I can associate with and activate my gift in that. And so pray about associations. And, you know, even with the church that you belong to, and I want to be careful here, but I want to use this example of I've known people that have been in churches, for example, that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today. And they would go to their churches, but they would hear contrary teaching from the pulpit, like healings are not for today and don't believe God for miracles and stuff like that. Prophecy is not for today. In fact, there'd be cynicism from the pulpit towards the things that they were wanting to grow in. How can you accelerate in growing in the prophetic, let's say, or growing in miracles, signs, and wonders? If that's your passion, how can you accelerate by being in an environment of unbelief? You want to be associated with those of like faith. Now, I'm not suggesting necessarily that you leave your church and go join another. You need the word of the Lord to do that. Of course, I'm not going to tell you to do that. But I do want you to consider the associations that you have, because it means everything to your spiritual growth. Okay, finally, I'm going to give you some extra little tools. These are not keys. These are tools. The first tool is prayer. And especially what I want to highlight right now is praying in tongues. And proclaiming in tongues, decreeing in tongues. The gift of tongues is so powerful for spiritual acceleration. In fact, the Bible says that you edify yourself. In other words, you edify your spirit man when you pray in tongues. But also, you are actually proclaiming mysteries. So you are prophesying yourself, so to speak, or decreeing yourself through the proclamation of tongues into your next place in God. Because your mind isn't involved, you're not being held back, you're not praying amiss, you're praying according to the perfect will of God. And so praying in tongues can actually accelerate your spiritual growth beyond belief. I used to pray for hours in tongues, just go for it for hours, and I always find spiritual acceleration. Every time I pray in tongues, I spiritually accelerate. Now, if you go on our website store, you can get my CD on tongues or the book that I have on tongues, and it'll help you greatly. The next tool is the word itself. The word is truth. It'll stand forever. So use that word. Spend time in the word. You will grow spiritually. Engage in word studies, character studies, theme studies. It's so much fun. In fact, if you don't know how to use a concordance, learn how to use one. Go on the online Bibles. Most of them have Hebrew lexicons and Greek lexicons, and you can go in there and find the root meanings of the word. I tell you, it'll take you into a focus of your faith that is so amazing. And so those lexicons of the word and concordances, they are great tools for you to grow and accelerate in the Lord. When you get that word on the inside of you, because Jesus is the word, so he's inside that word, it just accelerates you with understanding, with revelation. Tool number three, praise, worship, and soaking. Praise changes the atmosphere. You start praising the Lord and you'll accelerate every time. Every time you remember, you can just even wake up in the morning and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Just praise him and you'll be lifted up into a focus and you'll accelerate in his presence for the whole day. It works every time. Same as worship, but worship is deeper. Praise is most often for the things God has done, but worship is for who he is. So he's worthy of your worship. And when you worship, you connect to him in a oneness in an amazing way. So spend time soaking in his presence. Meditate on him and his goodness. Tool number three is research. What subject are you really hungry to learn, to accelerate in? Maybe it's in the prophetic. You want to accelerate in the prophetic. Research out. There's good books. There's, right now God's got a lot of oil on the seer anointing, and there's so many books out there on the seer anointing. Maybe you want to engage with ministry, with angels, and learn how to interact with them. Get books and teachings on that. Do some research on the subject. In your prayer life, to have accelerated prayer life, go and get Andrew Murray's books and other, Dutch Sheets and others, and get that word in you and let that focus on revival. I'm trying to get lots of material on revival right now because I'm feeding my spirit on revival through research on that subject. Tool number four is the power of your testimony. Start to testify of what God has done in your life and communicate what he has done and even what he's going to do. Tool number five, I'm sorry I'm racing through these, but spoken decrees. When you decree the word of God, oh, what a tool decrees are, because they will accelerate you. If you don't have our decree book yet, order it online right now. It's called Decrees. Decree. And it's got numerous decrees in there for almost everything that you'd like to accelerate in. It's the word of God decreeing it, building a framework of decrees. Spoken decrees are so, so powerful. Okay, well, that's about all that we have time for tonight as far as the teaching goes. But I have some questions here, so I want to read those out to you and answer them. And thank you so much for writing in. There's still time, by the way, if you want to write in your questions. And I want to also say that if you are a premium subscriber to xpmedia.com, you actually receive a benefit of the archived sets of all the webinars. You actually have archived conference messages as well. So you can go in after this webinar and listen to this one again, and you can listen to others. If you're a premium subscriber, it is a special benefit we have for you. So, and if you actually paid for this webinar, rather than getting it free through the subscription of the premium subscribers, I want to just invite you. You can get these free webinars every single month if you are a premium subscriber. They are included in the subscription package, so they don't have to sign up or register for them, and you get the archives. So I would highly recommend that if you're enjoying these webinars, instead of paying for each and every one, just sign up as a premium subscriber. It's only $9.95 a month, and you not only get the free webinars and the archives and the archive conferences, but you also get discounts on conference registrations, on resources. I mean, there are so many benefits, and I find the best one is that the top 10% of that subscription fee goes towards children at risk. So it's social justice is being performed, and it also helps media evangelism advance. And so your subscription is like a $10 donation every single month to the advancement of the kingdom through media. But you get to feed your spirit at the same time. It's awesome. So you can sign up as a premium subscriber online, and we encourage you to do so and get a hold of all the benefits, because we have at least one webinar every month that is free for premium subscribers. And so you can continue paying if you want, but if you want to watch these and then plus have all the access to the archives, then sign up as a premium subscriber, and you'll be part of God's media army making an advance too, and be part of the XP family. It'd be wonderful. Okay, here's a question. This is from Delinda. So Delinda, thank you so much for writing this in. It says, you mentioned stirring up your hunger. How do you stir up your hunger? Well, first of all, you can look at what you desire. So let's say that I would like to grow more in the prophetic, but I identify just a little bit of hunger, not very much, but I've got enough to acknowledge I've got some. Now, what will stir up that hunger more is for me to dream about the benefits, to see myself prophesying, to review what would the outcome be. Like, if I would prophesy, what would that look like for people that I'm ministering to? What kind of fruit would be established? How would it affect the Lord? Would he be pleased with it? Would it bring pleasure to him? So as I look to the benefits of the prophetic, it will motivate me to hunger for more of that. If I want to stir up hunger for prayer, again, I would look at the benefits of what prayer is, so that I could look at the return on my investment and say, wow, there's great benefit in this. I'm going to do it. So looking at the benefits absolutely stirs up the hunger. The other thing is just praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues and say, God, would you create hunger in me for what I am needing to have hunger in, and then you pray in tongues toward that, he will create hunger in you through praying in tongues. Here's a question from Greg. Thank you, Greg, for sending this in. How do you tell the difference between the voice of your spirit and the voice of your soul? This is such a good question, Greg, and a lot of this has to be worked through by reason of practice, okay? Now, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. When the soul is under the dominion of the Spirit of God, then your soul will give to your conscious awareness the Word of God, okay? So you want to commit your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, sanctify it, bring it apart unto God. And your spirit, of course, is your spirit man, in which the Spirit of God is in. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 4 that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is what divides between soul and spirit. So one of the ways that you can grow in discerning the difference between what comes from raw God, within your spirit man, and the activation of it, which is in your soul, is to meditate on the Word of God, to speak the Word of God. Okay? The more you do that, and of course if you pray in tongues, you're going to build up your spirit man, so you'll become more acquainted with the spirit. You'll know what comes from the Spirit of God and what comes from the emotion or the mind or the will. Now, just because something's from the soul doesn't mean it's bad. As I said before, when the soul is submitted to the Spirit of God, it actually is good. It's just a different function. It's a different part of your body. But what I think that you are referring to is your carnal thoughts that sometimes live and dwell within the soul realm, that the temptation thoughts, deceptive thoughts that the enemy puts within the soul. So what we're talking about is trying to discern the difference between the source of God and the source of the carnal nature. Not just the soul, but the carnal nature. Because your soul, as I said, if it's under the direction of the Spirit, should give to your conscious awareness the blessing of the Word of God. Your emotions should get electrified by it, okay? So what you want to do is learn, okay, what is God and what is the enemy? What is the carnal nature? God's nature can be identified through His love, through His compassion, through His truth, His righteousness, all the characteristics of the nature of God. The nature of the devil is exactly the opposite. And the carnal nature, it's very independent. It wants its own way. You know, it wants its own thing. It'll be argumentative towards the will of God. So you can identify the difference of source. That is the key, what you're looking for. So the closer you get to know God, the more you get to know Him, the more you're in His Word, the more you'll identify source. And of course, meditating on His character, His nature, the way He operates. Here's a question from Cindy. What does speaking in spiritual tongues actually do for you? Well, Cindy, it does a lot. Number one, as I said, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, there's teaching on tongues. And what it clearly says there is that, number one, it edifies your spirit man. It'll build you up spiritually. If you want to accelerate spiritually, just pray in tongues a lot. You will accelerate. I don't usually feel the acceleration while I'm praying in tongues, not usually. It's afterwards. Even later on in the week, I'll say, whoosh, what happened there? And I realize, wow, I just spent that big season of praying in tongues. Also, it says within the Bible that when I speak in tongues, I speak mysteries. So what you're doing is you're actually proclaiming into the Spirit things that have not yet been revealed to the understanding of mankind. In other words, the best way to pray for the coming revival is to proclaim it in tongues. Why? Because if eye has not seen and ear has not heard and neither has it entered into the heart of man yet what God's going to do, then how can we pray with our understanding for everything that God wants to bring in? But His Spirit knows, and His Spirit will empower our spirit to come into union with God to proclaim the coming move of the Spirit. So the more you pray in tongues, the more you're proclaiming the next move. You're praying the next move into being. Thirdly, the Bible says in Romans that when you do not know how to pray as you ought, the Spirit Himself will make intercession. And so when you don't know how to pray, start praying in tongues, saying, Lord, I'm just believing that You're going to direct the will of God as I pray in tongues. You're going to pray through me. You're going to inspire the prayer through me in perfect prayer, whatever is needed in this situation. There are other things also. For example, it'll lift your spirit out of depression. It'll bring you into rest and peace. It'll build your most holy faith. There's all kinds of other blessings that do come with tongues. And if you get the book on tongues or the CD on tongues, there's a full teaching about all the benefits and how to utilize each and every one of those benefits. Okay, this next question is from David. Thank you, all of you who wrote in. It says, when a person accepts the Lord, does the Holy Spirit come at that time? Or must you be baptized in the Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit? These are great questions. Okay, when you accept the Lord, you do receive the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 3, when He was speaking to Nicodemus, He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your spirit man when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the physical body of Jesus does not come in. His spirit comes in at that point. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay? So the spirit of God comes in. That's what makes you a brand new creation. You cannot be a brand new creation without the life of God in you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when he comes in to your life, it's the life or the ruah, the spirit of God that comes in. So you are now saved. There is a second encounter that you can have, and it doesn't have to be just a one-time encounter, but it's called the baptism of the spirit. In other words, when you're completely filled, because baptism means to be completely filled or completely immersed. So that is when you invite the Holy Spirit to not only reside within your human spirit, but to let it out into your soul, to let him out into your body, and to flow out of you. He said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water are going to flow. And so when you're baptized in the Spirit, it's of total immersion. And how do you receive that? You receive it by faith. And again, on my in my book on tongues, we go into more teaching on that and also on the CD. But yes, there are two unique encounters. One, the Spirit coming into you at salvation, who resides in your spirit, but the baptism, which is fully immersed, so that there's an empowerment of that anointing upon you to go and proclaim the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for you all in just a moment. But before I do, I just want to give you some insight onto what's coming up. We do have a number of coaching one-day workshops coming up. You can go online at patriciakinglifecoach.com to get more information on that and to look at other product that we have for life coaching elements and how to even be involved with life coaching. If you would like some coaching, we can coach by phone, by Skype, or by in-person appointments. So you can find more about that then. We also have a number of conferences coming up. And for those of you that are online right now, we have Women on the Front Lines is coming very soon. In fact, it's next week. For those of you that are on here live tonight, it's next week, Women on the Front Lines. If you are not going to be there in person, which I would highly recommend, it's going to be a pivotal time for us, I would encourage you to go and sign up for the webcast. It's going to be amazing. And so you can go online at xpmedia.com and find more about that. Also, we have the Big Tent event coming up in October. I'd like you all to come out. It's a 10-day revival meeting with a literal tent. We're going to have sawdust on the ground, everything like the old tent revivals. We're believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. You can find more about that online as well. Okay, so those are some things. And again, I want to encourage you to sign up for a premium subscription and get all the benefits that go with that online. And thank you for supporting media evangelism. We want to be able to give the word of God out to the nations. And now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person on this webinar right now. And I ask, Father, that you would empower them with your spirit afresh for acceleration. In every single desire that they have to accelerate spiritually, that you would fuel them, empower them, and release them into the fulfillment of their dreams in Jesus' name. And that the spirit of revival and the spirit of God would be stirred up on the inside of them, and that they would be connected into the activities of heaven in a new way, and that there would be visions and dreams and revelations and empowerment of the spirit more than ever before. In this hour, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I just want to let you know also as we just wrap up that feel free to write your comments, what you liked. I'd love for you to write us and tell me what you liked about this webinar and any ways that we can improve. We're just on a learning curve right now, and we're wanting to excel in getting the Word of God out to the nations. And you are so a part of it. And let us know how the sign-up process went for you this time. We're trying to improve. We really appreciate your patience as we're working out all the glitches. You guys are amazing. And let us know how you enjoyed it, the things that you would like to see. And join us often on xpmedia.com and tell your friends about it also. God bless you and have a wonderful evening wherever you are in the world. Just may the presence of the Lord empower you and impact you mightily in Jesus' name. Thanks again for joining.